Everybody reach up and give the person beside you a high five. Isn't it just good to start that way, right? Everybody give me a high five. Okay, now keep it up. Just keep it up there. We're learning about five things that God uses to grow your faith, and I'm assuming that pretty much everybody in the room at least has five digits, right, on your hand. Okay, good way to remember these. We're only the second week into this, and so we're actually starting with our first one. You might not have been able to be here with us last week, so we're not going to quiz you. We'll put them up there for you, okay? But let's say them together. Friends, action, being intentional, teaching, and history. By the time we're through this series, you might have memorized these things. Now, they're not going to be the type of things you can open up your Bible, you know, in Genesis 1:1. There they are. Look at the five things God wants you to know right off the bat so that when you read the book, right, you'll have these all in mind. No. You'll find them sprinkled throughout the scriptures, but one of the ways that these really hit us is because if you listen to someone's faith story, you will find these things there, normally at least. Maybe not all of them, but a good amount of them. When they talk about their faith going to a next step, another level, it's going to usually entail one of these things that help that take place. And so we're speaking to these because, you know what, every single one of us hopefully has that desire, at least that understanding, that my faith is intended to grow. It's not that I need more faith, but I need to engage the faith that God has already given to me. And one of the ways it's going to happen is by the friendships that we have. And that's one we're going to look at today. Friends are very important, key ingredient to growing our faith. But let's personalize this a little bit. And I want you to rank 1 through 10, basically, the answer to this question. How influential are friends in growing my faith? Again, I'm not talking broad here, personal. You, be honest, I'm not going to have you share it with anybody else. Be transparent. 1 to 10, 10 being they're hugely important, is as important as they could be. Most of us aren't going to be at a 10. I realize that. 1 being, you know what, very little to do. My faith is my own thing. It's very personal. I don't involve other people in that. How would you say that you are right now today with that? Because that's obviously a starting point for us, is to recognize that. Because it can cause a little tension in and of itself, this whole idea of friends, really, they're involved at all in my faith. Well, the reason that is really comes back to a principle that we're going to find here. And it's the principle of influence. We're going to spend our time in the book of Proverbs. Let me ask you to take your Bible, if you would, and turn to Proverbs. If you don't have a Bible, go ahead and grab one of the ones in the pew there. You'll find it on page number 1004. If you want to grab your own Bible, then what I'd say is basically open up halfway. You'll probably end up in the book of Psalms and go to the next book, and you'll find Proverbs there, okay? Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 20. The unique thing about Proverbs is you can take in one verse and have something to think about throughout the whole day. In fact, if you've ever taken the time to say, hey, I'm going to read a whole chapter of Proverbs, what you're going to find is so many truths that it gets a little bit overwhelming. And so we're just going to really hit this one right here. We'll have a few other verses that we pull into it. But the specific one being Proverbs 13, verse number 20, because it really spells out this whole idea of the principle of influence and the value of relationships, friends, family, whoever it may be. Would you read it with me here? Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 20. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Put a little bit different, and this will help you with your handout. Another version, very similar though, on the screen here, you'll see it. Read it with me again, would you? Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Did you catch that there? Isn't it something that's like, how many of you have teenagers at home? Okay? Don't you feel like running home and just painting it all over their bedroom wall, saying, you need to get this now? Before you go to college, okay, you need to understand the power of influence, because who you hang around is going to form your life. Say, no, really? Have you ever heard that phrase before? It's not what you know, but what? Who you know. Isn't that what this is saying? It is. Usually we use that term for trying to get somewhere in life, you know? I just need to surround myself by certain people because then I will have the influence that I need. Could be true. It may be, oh, I really wanted this job, and so I need to get in with this group of people so that I get hired. Well, we learn that works that way at times. God's not trying to say, hey, just do a little more networking. He's saying, you need to realize the people that you associate with are going to influence your life. And he's not just talking to anybody here. He's not talking, saying, hey, if you just happen to be in the same room with some bad people, it's going to be bad. No, he's saying, your friends, the people that you let into your life, they're going to cause you to make certain decisions over other decisions. You may say, no, not me. I'm above that. No, you will. There will be, at minimum, an association with those people. There will be. And so it is, in this case, about who we know. He's saying, look, in order to be wise, yes, go ahead and read. Go ahead and find out what God says. But that's not the only element. A lot of it's going to have to do with who you hang around. Of great importance to understand that. To be able to look at that and say, man, that's hard, because that may mean that I need to make some adjustments and I need to find other people in my life so that I can walk with the wise, so that I can be there. How many of you can remember a bad influence in your life? We all can, can't we? Now, don't raise your hand on this. How many of you were the bad influence in your life? Maybe in somebody else's life even, okay? Been there, right? We can remember. We can see how this works. How many of you would say, I had to actually learn the second half of that principle before I even paid attention to the first half? That was the way it was for me. The way I learned wisdom is by learning what fools do. Happened early on. Early elementary school. There was a rule that basically the school had, I guess, or the city had, that basically said, if you live within 12 blocks of the school, you cannot ride the bus. I lived like 10 blocks from the school. You think a young man, young boy, can get in trouble in 10 blocks time? Absolutely. Think a young man mixed with 3-4 other young men can get in a lot of trouble in 10 blocks time? Absolutely. One day after school, me and my buddies walking home, we were a little bit bored, you know. Said, let's have some fun. Okay, what are you thinking? See that house over there? The roof on it is just low enough that I think we could actually lift each other up, grab onto the rain gutter, pull ourselves up on the roof and sit on the roof and make fun of the kids as they walk by. Anybody thinking, man, that sounds cool, right? That's what I was thinking. I thought, that's fun, man. That would be great. But then I'm thinking, you know what? I don't know the people that live there. They might have guns or something. You know, I don't know if that's a good idea. And then I began to think, man, if my dad finds out, I'm going to be in big trouble. I'm thinking, I don't know about this. And they're like, oh, come on. So it's like, no, I'm not convinced. But I'll watch. So didn't pay attention to where I was watching, but I stood there and watched. I watched my friends crawl up on this roof and start, you know, razzing all the other kids, making fun of them. I thought, man, I wish I was on that roof. Didn't do it, though. Not going there. Things kind of faded away, you know, went home. Thought, story, done, over with. Get to school the next day. Principal comes to the classroom. Mr. Gray, I remember his name to this day. In elementary school, it felt like he was 7 foot tall, 300 pounds. He was actually about 6'2", 200 pounds, so still a pretty big guy. Comes into our classroom, says, I want to talk to you, 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 and you in my office right now. I'm like sweating bullets already. It's like, oh, I didn't do anything, but I knew what it was about. Every one of us knew what it was about. You see, I don't think we got quite far enough away from the school. That was mistake number one. That wasn't mistake number one, but one of several mistakes. He gets out a piece of paper, black marker, starts spelling word. He says, any of you know what this means? T-R-E-S-S. Before he get any further, I thought, I'll show him how smart I am. Trespassing! Expecting a nice pat on the shoulder saying, wow, I'm glad that you know what that means. I didn't get that. He's like, you guys did something wrong. And I'm thinking, you know what? I've heard people get in trouble for trespassing. We're in big trouble. I hope he doesn't call the police. I hope he doesn't call my mom and dad. He gave us a pretty strong reprimand, enough that it's like, oh yeah, maybe I should think about not ever doing this again. God had a little sense of humor. This was all before Christ in my life, okay? So give me a break with some of it, all right, here? But I thought, oh, man, I hope this is the end of this. Like I said, God had a sense of humor. I get home, walk in the door, and right there on just a little table are these little, like, 1-inch by 1-inch cards with ink on them. There were 10 of them. Anybody have an idea what might have been on those? Fingerprints. My heart just goes to my stomach. I'm like, I didn't touch anything. How in the world did they get my fingerprints? And as I was ready to spill my guts to my mom, she sees me look at him. She says, aren't those so cool? Your brother made those in art class today. To this day, I never told my mom this story. Hopefully she doesn't watch this online. But it put that principle hard into my life, where it's like, you know what? The next time, and there was a next time, that these guys say, hey, you want to do something really, really fun? I'm like, I think I better pass on that. One time as they say, hey, let's go in the flower shop. You know what? Let's see if we can get away with taking a few things. It's like, I don't think that's a good idea. And at some point I had to say, you know what? I don't think these should be my closest friends. Probably not a good influence in my life. And we all know that. We all understand that. We see it. Do we do something about it, though? What have we done about it? What are we willing to do about it? Is it really that important? If we're going to grow our faith, it is important. Because God makes it very clear that if we're going to be wise, which is about growing our faith, then we're going to have to hang around those who are wise. Why? Because friendships are not neutral. They influence you. Notice saying friendships. We're not just saying acquaintances, but we're talking about the people that you led into your life. We're not just talking about family, but family can be included in this. Obviously, family's a given. They're going to influence you. They're going to influence you heavily, both in the good as well as the bad. And that's the same with friendships. There's two sides to this. What that means is this. Friendships, even to this day, either undermine or grow our faith, and they will continue to do so. They're going to. Some friendships will do a little bit of both because we're not perfect. And so there are going to be some times when you get some bad influence, even from some good people in your life. But we need to have people who are helping us to grow our faith, because it's not going to happen just by ourselves. We can think, hey, I'm fine, just me and God. But that's not true. What that means is there's a strong spiritual component to relationships. Because that whole idea of wisdom, that whole idea of you surround yourself around other people, I don't care how independent you are, I don't care how strong you think that you are, you're going to be influenced. You are. Doesn't mean you're always going to make a wrong choice. It doesn't mean that you can't stand up against adversity, but we need positive encouragement, help. Someone who's asking us how we're doing. Someone who's saying, hey, you need to continue to make some changes in your life. So what does that look like? Well, let me show you what I mean. On your sheet there, and I'd encourage you to grab your sheet and use it. I want you, the top left corner of that T chart you see there, above the bar, would you just write the word decision? And what I want you to do is begin thinking about spiritual decisions. Now, that can throw you right away. I realize that, okay? But it's up to you what you consider that spiritual decision. Again, you may be here. You don't know Jesus Christ. You don't believe that he's the Son of God, maybe. Maybe you don't look at the Bible and say, hey, that's God's word. That's fine. You're still a spiritual person, and you still have spiritual decisions that you make. And so I'll kind of prime it a little bit, but hopefully it'll just get it started so that you can put some down here. But a spiritual decision might be as simply as this. I decided to go to church. At some point I said, church is a good place to be. I'm going to go. Maybe it was not necessarily I decided to go to church, but maybe even bigger than that was I decided to come back to church. I gave up on it for a while, but I decided to come back again. Maybe your decision is actually to come to Christ. That's not the same as coming to church. Just because we're in church, it doesn't make us a Christian. But at some point, you remember that you made a decision to trust that Jesus Christ died for your sins and that you wanted that gift of salvation, and so you trusted him as your Savior. And that was a major spiritual decision. Maybe it was to get baptized, as Lita did here, with believer's baptism. That's a spiritual decision. Maybe it was, I'm going to read my Bible regularly. I'm going to open it up, even though it's like, you know what, I'm not sure that I can understand it all. I'm going to read it. I'm going to make that commitment. Maybe it was to pray. There's all kinds of spiritual decisions that we're making regularly. What are those? Now, you got a whole nother side, don't you? So at the top right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to put person on there, or persons, because it's not necessarily just one. It could be several. Because there's a strong likelihood that everything on the left side has a face to it. And I want you to put that face. You don't have to draw it. You can just put their name. For me, the same person was very instrumental in influencing me to go to church, basically for the first time, as well as to come to Christ. His name was Brian Quick. Through an actual invitation saying, hey, would you go to church with me? It was a great thing. Don't have time to tell the story, but I look back at that and say that was a very pivotal time where God provided really just a great relationship that I wouldn't have dreamed that would happen that way. Beyond that, I had another person in my life named Bill Miller who basically said, Rob, this might be a little awkward conversation, but you know what? You need to speak up a little bit about Jesus and who he is and what he means to you. You go to school every day and you don't talk about him. Why not? How come when we're around your friends who don't go to church, you act like you're not even a Christian? That needs to change. And I had a decision to make, right? Bill Miller, out or in? It was very tempting to say, Bill Miller, out. I don't like this. But he was willing to step in and have the awkward conversation to say, you know what? You need to grow. You need to grow up. You need to grow in your faith. You need to let others know you're not ashamed of Jesus Christ and that you're grateful for his love that he's given to you, and you need to talk about it. If that causes waves, so be it. You need to do it. It's very important. We all have those people. One of the things I'd encourage you to do, if you can, let those people know the impact that they've had in your life. For me, these people aren't influencing me anymore. Not specifically, not through conversations. The conversations ended a while ago. But they were very influential, very instrumental in my life, very, very influential. And I can look back all along my life and see influential people. When one relationship stopped, you know what? It wasn't long after that another relationship started that was probably just as influential. But you know what? I look back 10 years ago even, and I didn't know some of the people who are most influential in my life today. They're different. And I have to be okay with that and realize that each time God uses those to ratchet up my faith, to bring it to a different place than it is right now. But if it wasn't for these people, I wouldn't be challenged to do that. So there's a couple questions that can leave us with, because this list could go on, probably for many of us, quite lengthy. And it's a good thing to think about, obviously. You don't have to write them all down. But one that I do want you to write down is this. Who's influencing you today, now? Does someone come right to mind just like that? Maybe not, and maybe here's the reason why. For a long time in my life, I got this idea. If I have people influencing me, then I'm not mature. I actually had the idea, I can get to the point where I'm so mature, I don't need other people influencing me. Really, it was a cop-out is what it was. It was saying, you know what? You just gotten to a point you want to hide your stuff and you don't want anybody to know about it. That's all that's happened. You see, we're not going to outgrow the need for influence in our life. We're not. We're always going to need it. And it's not always going to be the people that you think it's going to be either. It's not always going to be, oh, the super Christian that you look up to so great. Sometimes it's going to be people that maybe you didn't think were as mature as they really are that God's going to use in your life to influence you in a great way. Maybe saying, you know what, really don't have anybody there. Well, think about the second question. You need to find somebody there because you can just flip that around a little bit as well, can't you? Not just who is influencing you, but just as importantly, who are you influencing? Who is it? You see, we have a responsibility to share the things that we've been given. You can think about it this way. Someone, whether purposely or by mistake, usually it's not by mistake, poured into your life, you have a responsibility to give that away to other people. A lot of times we call that mentoring or just having a conversation. You have that responsibility. You need to. You need to share that. You might think, I have nothing to share. That is not true. You need to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to. Again, it may not be in a formal way where you meet every single week with someone. Some people do that and it works great. It can be very beneficial that time after time after time can grow great trust. But you need to be influencing others. If you are having a hard time with either one of these blanks, figuring out who that is, you know what that means? You have a huge hole in your life that needs to be filled. I'm not saying the God-shaped hole, so don't confuse that. But you have that hole, lack of friends, lack of friendships, lack of relationships that God is using or wants to use to, again, grow your faith in a different way than what's happening right now, presently. And so to look at that and to pray and ask God to bring those people into your life so that you can see that happen, so that you can see your growth in your faith become huge, big. But it's going to require something. And it's not necessarily easy, and we'll talk even to that point. But God uses friends to grow our faith. Here's the struggle. Most of us, and this is the church's fault, really, most of us were taught that our faith grows most when? Anybody take a stab at that? When do you think that is? When we're in trouble? That's good. Where do we run during those times? When? What day of the week?
Sunday.
And where are we sitting when that happens? In church, right? We're taught that. We are taught, whether it be kind of intuitively or by example, whatever it may be, that really the best increase of my faith actually happens on the weekend with the events of the weekend. That's not true. That's one of the elements. We're going to talk about that later, actually. It's actually the T in our acrostic faith is what it is. There's another element, though, because we see the friendships that form and that are very instrumental in bringing us to the point where God wants us to be. But what it requires is this, is after we've figured out that God uses friends to grow our faith, that it involves moving from rows to circles. Because what are we sitting in right now? I use that term loosely. What are you sitting in right now? Rows. We're going to talk about that, but I want to illustrate it this way with Tim's story. Take a look.
Just reading the week's pamphlet, I saw in there that it was better with bacon, men's breakfast. I thought, perfect, I can do a men's breakfast. But I was nervous about the men's breakfast because I didn't know anybody from the church. So I hemmed and hawed around for a while, thought about, well, can I do this? Can't I do this? I'm really nervous about doing it. And finally got up the courage to go to the men's breakfast. And as I was driving to the men's breakfast, I was praying to God, God, please send a friendly face for me when I get to this men's breakfast, because I just need somebody there for me. I was really, really nervous. I walked into the doors for the men's breakfast, and there was an ex-coworker of mine. His name is Bill. First guy I met, sticks his hand out, shakes my hand. Hey, Tim, how you doing? When I saw Bill, I felt like, oh, hey, this is all right. I always thought of him as a real cool guy. I'm like, well, hey, he goes to this church. This can't be so bad if he's here. You know, I mean, really, it was a pivotal moment. It's like, hey, this is my friend Bill. I've known the guy for years, and I never even knew he went to church. Well, if he can go to this church, I can go to this church. Sat down, met a bunch of new guys that day at breakfast. Ken, the guy that was putting on the men's breakfast, had said all of the things that were going on at Fox River for the week with the beginning of journey groups, and men's group was going to be Wednesday night. And I thought, well, I've come this far. I can do a journey group. So it was going to be on the Old Testament, and I really didn't know the Old Testament. I didn't know the Bible that well at all. I show up at the group, and I thought to myself, man, I shouldn't be here because I don't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know what they were talking about. I felt so unprepared. But I toughed it out, sat down, and we went around the room and introduced ourselves. And to my surprise, there were other guys there that had never read the Old Testament. I had the book, I had the Bible, but I didn't understand it. I was looking for an interpreter. And in that room, I had 10 interpreters and what turned out to be my band of brothers. With those guys and my motivation to make things better and find the truth in the Word and help myself grow in God, I've come a long way. When you walk into church on Sunday or to the group on Wednesday and somebody sticks out their hand and says, "Hey, Tim, how are you doing?" They really want to know. They care how you're doing. They want to hear how your week was. They want to help you. They want to support you. If you're sitting in a small group, 15, 20 guys, you're at ease to say whatever's on your mind. And nobody looks down at you or thinks less of you for asking a question because they've all asked these same questions. I mean, if I don't understand it, I'm not going to stand up in the middle of Sunday service and raise my hand and say, "Hey, Pastor Guy, I don't quite get that." But you're in a small group, you can say whatever you want. You get a comfort zone with the guys that are in the group. Nobody looks down on you. I mean, we're all one and the same. They might be at a different place in their journey than I am in my journey, but we're all on the journey. I came here and I didn't know anybody but Bill, and then I came back the next time and Bill introduced me to a few guys, and now I know 5 guys, and then I know 10 guys, and then I know all these other guys. I got a band of brothers. Those guys have my back. I got their back. Where can you go and find that? I'm Tim, and I know God uses friends to grow my faith.
Let's thank Tim and praise God for what's going on in his life. There's power in friendship, an important one, but it doesn't happen in rows. That's the illustration there. You see, we come to the weekend and we sit in rows, and it's on purpose, and it's needed. We need rows, okay? So please don't hear me say we're getting rid of rows, but hey, you know what? Got a few rows here, right? Sit in the back row like everybody wants to sit. Stay away from the guy up front, right? And we sit in rows, and it's very purposeful. It's very important because if I were to tell you, you know what, next week we're ripping out the pews and we're going to rearrange the furniture a little bit in here and we're going to make circles. Anybody going to start sweating a little bit? Anybody saying, "I'm not coming. That's not what I do. I don't sit in circles on Sunday morning." No, you don't. And that's fine. We're not going to do that. I wouldn't show up either. It's like, no, forget it. I'm not sitting in circles on the weekend. We need the rows. Why? Well, think rows, think circles. I'm going to describe a few. You tell me which one it fits in here. Most people are introduced to the church the very first time. Sometimes introduced to Jesus Christ. Sometimes they're in an environment where they can remain a little bit anonymous as they check things out. Happen in a row or a circle? Rows, right? Very important, isn't it? It is very important. You're probably glad that that took place, but maybe you've hung out in that place a little bit too long and you need to get out of that. Potentially, that could very well be. Good for introduction, though. Need it for introduction. Need to move past introductions, though. Need to add to it some circles is what we need to do. Because there's something called community that the Bible talks about. Talking about sharing our life, life on life, talking to other people about the different things that are going in our life, what God's doing in our life, maybe what's going on with family even, happen best in circles or rows? Circles. Can you imagine that in a row? You have 5 people between you and the person you want to talk to. "Hey, why don't you tell me a little bit about what's going on in your marriage? Oh, don't bother with these people sitting between us and everybody around us. Who cares? Maybe they'll plug their ears, right?" No, not going to happen that way. Doesn't happen well. Not in rows, it doesn't. But it happens great in circles. Letting someone know what's going on in your life. Ask them to pray for you. Knowing that they will do that. Having a little bit of social time, interaction. Not a lot of social time going on right here, right now. That's okay. Not a lot of strengthening of friendships going on right now. That's okay, because that's not the purpose. But again, great value, though, still. Getting out information to a large amount of people at one time. Happen best, do you think? In circles or rows? No, you got confused because I skipped one. Large amount of information to a lot of people happens best in rows. But face-to-face conversation? Circles. But it changes everything, right? It changes the dynamics because now what? You're face-to-face. You ever sit there face to face? And it can be a little uncomfortable, right? Because what's expected of you? That you talk a little bit. And when you don't, it's weird, people. Really weird. It's not just an awkward silence. It's a weird silence that says, I don't like you enough to say anything to you, not even to ask you what your name is. That is a problem. We need to be in those places, though, where we can have people ask us what our names are, where we can ask them what their names are, where we can find out, is God doing something in your life? And when we're honest with them and say no, they say, hey, is there something I can do to help you with that? To be able to say no, those are important conversations to have, but they're not going to happen on the weekend. Not in this scenario, not in this setting, the way that it's set up, and it's not supposed to be that way. How about inspiration? It'll happen a little bit in both, but how about sitting there saying, wow, there's a whole lot of other people like me. Maybe don't have this whole God thing figured out, but at least they're trying. At least they're looking. At least they're searching. And you can walk out of there saying, this was a good place to be. Rows or circles? No. Rows. Both. I said a lot of people. Sorry, you don't sit in a circle with a lot of people. I'm talking 300 people, you know? It's great, right? When you look around and say, look at all these other people singing praise to God. That's a powerful thing when that happens. Worshiping. Being together. Saying we are the body of Christ. We are Fox River. Application. Happens in both, but I'm talking about a different application. I'm talking about application with a little bit of the dreaded word, accountability. Knowing that if I speak up and tell someone what's going on in my life, they might ask me next week if I did something about it. Happen in rows or circles? Circles. It doesn't happen in rows. In fact, that's why you sit in a row, right? You don't want anybody knowing your stuff, and you're good with that. Because if someone knows your stuff, they might ask you. They might actually care enough to ask you how you're doing. That can be a scary thing. It can be an awkward thing. We need both. It's not an either or. But let's have clarity on that. Why do we need both? I want you to take a T. You can't take a T because you don't have a T. So take a pencil or a pen and put a T above the rose. Then I want you to take that pencil and put an F above the circle. Some of you are already thinking true, false, right? No, it's not true, false. We're done with the quiz. There are five things that God uses to grow our faith. One of them starts with F. What is it? Friends. One of them starts with T. We haven't gotten there yet, but I think you can probably remember it. Teaching. Practical teaching. We sit in rows so we can worship together, so we can receive practical teaching. We'll get to that point. We got a few letters to get through before we go there. We're not going to do it today. But friends are important to growing our faith. They're of huge importance, more than what we often will give credit to even. So what's the problem? What keeps us from making the move? How many of you like your furniture rearranged? Gets a little boring staying the same, doesn't it? So shake it up a little bit. Let's rearrange the furniture. But realize when you rearrange the furniture, it can cause some awkwardness, can't it? It can. We're not going to tell you it doesn't. It does. You enter into a room with a bunch of people that you don't know, and you may pray like Tim did, God, please let there be someone there that I know. Can't guarantee that it's going to happen like it did for Tim. Might not. Don't know for sure. But if you don't get yourself into the environment, you know it won't happen. We need to. Here's why it's so hard to make the move, because relationships are dynamic and they require trust. They require trust of other people. They also require a trust of God. Why? Because it's a our part thing and a God part thing. And we're not in control of the God part thing. We're only in control of our part. You see, we cannot make relationships happen for you. You cannot necessarily make relationships happen. You can take a step, but we're passionate about providing environments that can at least allow for the possibility. That's why you heard us talk about journey. You need to be in a place where a circle can be formed, where relationships can be had, where you can hopefully form friendships even, where you can see God work in great ways. But the key reminder is this. Proverbs 16, verse number 9 really helps us with this, our part, God's part. It says, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. You see, we can go ahead and plan. We can put all kinds of things together, and we can say, this is the way that it needs to go, but we got to be ready for God to come in and do the work. Because he's going to be the one who's going to form the relationship. Because there's going to be people you don't connect with. There's going to be people who you don't think that you connect with that you'll end up connecting with even. But if we won't place ourselves in the environment, it's not going to happen. So you know what's going to happen? Tonight, we're going to create some circles, and I want you to be here for it. In fact, what I just did was I ordered all the security to lock all the doors, and you're not leaving here. No, that would not be right. It'd be good, but it wouldn't be right. But I want you to come to Journey Group Link, because that's where we're going to form circles. We'll start in rows for a little bit, and then we're going to go to circles. Here's the problem. Where does conversation happen best, rows or circles? And what are we in right now? And I want to have a conversation with each and every single person that's saying, I don't know about this, because there's a story behind that. And I wish I knew that story. And I wish I could convince you of the importance of this personally. Because some of you are sitting there saying, it's not for me, just get that, would you? And you know I'm not going to check up on you and see if you were there tonight. Although I have a photographic memory and I'm just scanning the room for everyone that's heard this message right now. No, what that means is it leaves me at this. Please, would you allow me as your pastor to say, I want you there tonight. Be there, especially if you have no names in either of those blanks about influence. Especially. Come. If you get to the end of the night saying, you know what, can't do the circle thing, that's okay. We'll say, try it again some other time. Don't give up. Even if you say, I can do the circle thing, but I don't know how long I can do it, we'd say, stick it out for 8 weeks. Just try it out. See if God does something in your life. But at least see God work. You take the step and then see where God takes it from there. Because God's really in control of the relationships anyways, isn't he? You're not going to make them happen. I'm not going to make them happen. No one there tonight is going to make them happen. Can't force it upon anybody, nor would we want to. But you need to be in an environment where it can happen. So Journey Group Link, 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock tonight. You need childcare, we'll provide childcare for you even. Provide a little bit of food for you. You don't have to sign up at this point even. Just show up. We'll figure out a way. You might say, you didn't sign up. Sorry, you can't have any food. But hey, bring some with you, okay? It's a little bit of dessert that we'll be having. We're going to have a party. We're going to have a fun time with it. But the most important thing is to evaluate. Do you have influence in your life? And are you influencing someone else? If so, how? Here's the way God describes it with a great word picture in Proverbs again. Chapter 27, verse number 17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. It takes close proximity in order for that to happen. It takes good people in your life that are causing some friction at times even, that sharpens you to make you into who God wants you to be, to take your faith up another notch. Another place to grow it, because he wants you to have growing faith. Let's pray. God, help us, please, to love you more and to show that, Lord, by increasing our trust in you, our faith in you, and realizing in order to support that, we're going to need others around us. Even through the awkwardness, God, I pray that we'd fight through that. For those who are still saying, I know it's a good idea, but I don't know about this. God, that they'd at least trust you enough to say, I'm going to see what you do with this. God, help us, none of us, to be alone, Lord, but to actually have people in our lives, some of them that maybe we feel we've handpicked, other ones, Lord, beyond a shadow of a doubt, we did not have much to do in that picking. But Lord, you made it happen anyway. God, help us, Lord, to see you work, to grow our faith through the friendships that we have. Praise things in Christ's name. Amen.